Hi, this is Grace Mastrangelo, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Fred Ferrara, original member from the Brooklyn Bridge Handel Sands. And you're listening to our good friend, very good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, I'm Cleveland Still of the Doves, and I'm here with my good friend, Mike Miller, of the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my extreme pleasure to bring to you this week a tribute to Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. I spent a fabulous week on a cruise with Jimmy Jay and Cheryl Maimon, and one of the groups on this cruise were the Teenagers with Herman Santiago and Jimmy Merchant, and the fabulous Tim Wilson, who was the lead for Tiny Tim and the Hits, who had the wonderful song Wedding Bells, along with my good friend Tommy Lockhart. Hey, Tommy. Love you, man. Paulette and I had such a fabulous week with them. At this time, I'd like to give you the story of the Teenagers as it was explained to me by Jimmy Merchant and Herman Santiago. Without further ado, my buddy, Jimmy Merchant.
We all met in the ninth grade. And the vocal group scenario was breaking out wide open. Everybody wanted to be a vocal group. The vocal group craze was blossoming big time. And Sherman Garnes, Herman Santiago, Joe Negroni, and Jimmy Merchant, myself, were a quartet in the ninth grade, the later half of the ninth grade. We became a quartet. We called ourselves the Ermans. But before we became the Ermans, Sherman and myself was another quartet, which was the Earth Angels, and Herman and Joe Negroni, who were looking to put together a vocal group. They already had a title called the Ermans, but the Ermans were missing two people. That would be me, myself, and Sherman. We didn't know that yet. They didn't know it. They were spotting us because they would watch us in the park singing with these boys. And we didn't have no title yet. So it was like lunchtime at the ninth grade. You run across the street and you sing everything that's on the radio. And September 1954, the Earth Angels came out with this song. I'm sorry, the Penguins came out with this song, the Earth Angels. And when that came out, we were singing Earth Angel over and over and over again. It was about 10 of us, you know. The 10 of us boiled down to about 5. And it was a bunch of schoolgirls. We were all in ninth grade. The girls were around us. Sing Earth Angel again. Sing Earth Angel again. Sing it again. And the bell rings this particular day during lunchtime. And everybody runs back in school. And the 5 of us are still singing the song Earth Angel. And the teacher comes out and she sees everybody's in school but these 5 boys. And we're singing Earth Angel, we ain't paying nobody no mind. Ooh, doo, doo, doo. Wow! Ooh. I mean, we was into it, you know. We didn't hear no school bell. And she said, hey boys, lunchtime is over. Hey, Earth Angels, get in here! That's how the Earth Angels got their name. And then the Earth Angels weren't serious. They were not serious. Me and Sherman were asked by 2 serious guys, Herman Santiago and Joe Negroni. And they said, hey, Sherman, we want you to come and see and if you can sing bass with our group that we're starting out. And bring that real sky-high first tenor. What's his name? Jimmy Merchant. Bring him with you. So we got together, and Joe Negroni and Herman Santiago said, we're calling ourselves the Ermans. Oh, wait a minute, the Ermans. Come on, man. Why call yourselves the Contours, man? Call yourselves the Dubs or the Hot Tones. The Ermans. Give me a freaking break. Hey, man, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I'm an Erman now. You know, me and Sherman and Herman Santiago and Joe Negroni. And we start singing. We start getting all the population around us was following us. Earth Angels wasn't getting nobody. You know, it was the Ermans. And there was a little guy following us around. He was a neighborhood guy. I think his name was Frankie. And, we, you know, we used to shoo him off. You know, he would just come and hang out with the Ermans. You know, watch us singing, you know, I want to run. I wanna roll, I wanna thrill deep. We were singing that. And we were singing, do, 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 good night. So we were singing that. What else were we singing, Herman?
Jack's music, why don't you write me a song?
Write me a letter, why don't you write me a letter? And Herman Santiago was the lead, man. I mean, he was the Frankie before Frankie, man. Yeah. He's sharp and cool today. He says, I'll let you guys do the work, man. I established the fact.
Hi, my name is Herman Santiago from the original Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. And I'm here with my good friend Mike Miller from the Good Harmony Street Show.
So Frankie is hanging around, and every school has them, which is talent shows during the summer. It's summertime now. We have graduated in June from the 9th. We're going to go into high school, but it's the summer between the graduation and high school that they had summer shows at the same junior high that we were going to. Frankie was hanging out with us. We were still singing in the neighborhood during the summer. And everybody was urging us to get into this talent show. You Ermans are going to be the best. And so Frankie is hanging out with us. And Frankie had a group of his own, Herman. What was the name of his group? Yo, Herman. Hello? What was the name of Frankie's group? He had a trio. Well, he had a little trio, had his brother in it. He was playing congos. Now, Frankie is going to go on this talent show with a lot of other artists, and so with the Ermans. But Frankie is finding most of his time singing, following us in the neighborhood, Charles, you know, and hanging out with us. And I mean, the tenor was there. And he knew all the songs we were doing. And he would even try to say, man, hey, Jimmy, man, you doing this, this is the way it should go. What? What do you like this? Telling me, you know, telling me how something should go. You know, because I was, you know, every group has somebody that's teaching them the harmony. And, you know, and I was the guy in our group that's teaching the guys the harmony and, you know, teach them, show them bass openings and trying to write a little bit too. But Frankie's going to come in and he's going to act like he's one of the big boys. You know? I said, man, Herman is the lead. You stay in the background, dude. You know? So he comes into the group and we change our names to the Premieres. Frankie comes into the group. Ermans is gone. Thank God. And
Sherman said, man, we're a five-man.
Sherman with the bass.
We're a five-man group now, Bernard. And, you know, I'm going to lead the way. You know, Jimmy Ricks and all those cats. You know, the old man River. Forget him. You know, my bass is so low that he said, yeah. And Sherman said, my bass is so low I sing lower than the piano. Sherman was a comedian, right? So, we're the Coupe de Villes. And, somebody's auditioning us, and the Valentines move into the neighborhood, Richard Barrett. And we learn Lily Mae Belle, and we stand in front of his window, and we're singing Lily Mae Belle, and he comes downstairs. He says, man, I'm going to see y'all at another talent show. So we go down to another talent show down on Amsterdam Avenue in Harlem, and we heard the Cadillacs were guests there because they went to this school, Spider 124 down in Amsterdam? 43. Yeah, they were guests, and we go down there, and we sing as the five of us. Now, man, we kick butt. Are you kidding? The originals, and we had, you know, this is the first time that we signed autographs. And the Cadillacs came out there, and they were standing watching us sign autographs in the lobby of the school. And we sang then at a, we sang then at the Amateur Night in Harlem. But that night, after I saw the Cadillacs, and we sang at that school, we changed our name to the Coupe de Villes. The Earth Angels, the Ermines, the Premiers, the Coupe de Villes. There you go. Last stop, G Records. The leader of the Valentines, Richard Barrett, most of you guys know him. He discovered the Chantels, Lil Anthony and them, the Three Degrees, and we were the first group that he discovered, and he took us downtown. At that audition, suddenly Frankie Lyman became the lead singer at that audition. Herman's been a background singer ever since. But he didn't care, of course.
Not much.
And so we're calling George Goldman up. We recorded this song, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, for the first week in December. And Jimmy, man, stop calling this office. Well, George Goldman, man, I want to know when the record is coming out. We recorded that. We told him that the company was on 42nd Street, and every time I tell somebody in school that we recorded, they said, yeah, you recorded at one of the Penny Arcades down on 42nd Street. I said, no, we made a real record. George Goldman tells us, finally, that Why Do Fools Fall in Love is going to be a big hit, and it's going to come out after Christmas to avoid the Christmas rush of 1955. It would be out, he said, 1 week after Christmas. That's New Year's Eve. Before 1956. And in a meeting, 2 days before they printed up the records, George was in a meeting with Jimmy Wright, who was the horn player at G and Rama Records, who played those great solos. George Goldman asked Jimmy Wright, what should I name these boys? They're calling themselves the Ermines, the Coupe de Villes, and the Premiers. What should we call them? Now, Jimmy Wright is just an old blues horn player.
Man, what you talking about? They're teenagers. Call them teenagers. Call them the teenagers.
And ladies and gentlemen, God took these five boys and made us a gift to 1956, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Many groups were inspired by Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. It was said that when Frankie Lyman left the group and went home upstairs, the only one that could take his place was Michael Jackson. Come on now. Michael Jackson. Now you're talking about the inspiration of a group that stirred the music right on through last year. Boyz II Men, the Osmonds, they copied Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. We set the tone for the entire music industry. Come on now. Like I said, you can't even get a recording deal today unless you are 11 years old and the whole business is controlled by young people. They even have baseball teams. I mean now, if they are not young people in the recording industry, they are young people also in the background in the business area that started out as kids, just like Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Another one that was inspired by Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers was his own brother.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Louie.
Louie who? Okay. How many want to hear Louie Lyman here?
Woo! to know you guys. You guys get a chance to know me. How's that?
All right.
Yeah. See, we know who you guys are. You guys are great. You're going to have a wonderful time. Yeah, I think you picked the best night to come out because you haven't lost any money yet. You guys should be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, to my left, young man who's been coming on stage for 55 years. Can you believe that? Yeah. He's a face that's known all over the world. Yes, he is. He's our leader. He does it all. Would you give a wonderful round of applause to Mr. Herman Santiago? He's a Rico. Also to my left, and I might say all these guys are to my left. Young man who we truly have enjoyed being in our midst. He's into his second year with the legendary Teenagers now. We got him from Spring Valley, New York. Anybody here from that area? Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, a wonderful warm celebrity cruise welcome to Mr. Tommy Lockhart! This next gentleman, he's a wonderful storyteller. And he can tell the stories very well because he lived all this thing. He was there from the very beginning. Yes, indeed. He's also been on stage for 55 years, along with Herman. He's an original. Ladies and gentlemen, give a big welcome to Mr. Jimmy Merchant.
Tim and the Gates.
1958.
Ladies and gentlemen, our lead singer walking in Frankie Lyman's shoes in 2010, Mr. Timothy Cunningham Wilson. Good evening.
Set this one up for us, James.
I love setting up our songs, Herman. I love setting up our songs, Herman. Herman is low-key and quiet, but he was there writing songs with the group. Now, the second song that we came out, I happened to get an eye on and brought it to the group. And it became our second hit, I Want You to Be My Girl. But the flip side was an enormous, it made I Want You to Be My Girl a two-sided hit. We're going to ask Mr. Timothy Wilson to step in and sing I'm Not a Know-It-All.
Blue, I only
know that I love you.
Going back on the road for another 91 nights.
All right. I mean, he was hanging out with Bill Haley and the Comets, Carl Perkins, Chuck Berry. I mean, when we did the amateur night at the Apollo Theater, Chuck Berry, the amateur night, we were amateurs. Chuck Berry was on the show upstairs. And we did our tour, and the first tour that we was on, he was on the downstairs, because we were on the upstairs. The Platters, the Teenagers, Shirley and Lee, the Spaniels, Climax Fatter and the Drifters, and Chuck Barrett. We worked with Little Richard. Stand up, young lady. Little Richard's daughter. So we toured around the country, and one of the stops in Pittsburgh, they said they wanted to introduce a new group. They were Soldiers. Give the Soldiers a hand now. So, Herman, they were in the Air Force, right? The Del Vikings. Yeah, the Del Vikings came on and they got discovered on our tour with this hit. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give Jimmy Burton a nice round of applause. As Jimmy was telling many stories of the teenagers, oftentimes the disc jockey would pick up a record and he would play the flip side. And sometimes the flip side would like really take off. You guys remember that, right? So this is true of this song we're going to do for you guys right now. And this was the flip side of ABC's of Love. And we're going to share this week. Share. Remember that one?
Yeah. No, 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 no.
Success. First of all, we said no more old folks music for old folks. You know, the Dean Martins, the Frank Sinatras, the Bing Crosbys, Andy Williams. There were a bunch of them. It was teenagers' time. And that's what happened in 1956. We wrote a song that talks about the sophistication of teenagers. Very simple words. Very simple words. I want you to be my
girl.
Pennsylvania.
Two up was everywhere, the small cities in America. America. And it sounded like this. It was a bass singer, it was five guys, usually family or neighborhood or school chums, like Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. They had a bass, they had a baritone, they had a second tenor, they had a heavenly high first tenor, and they had a lead. Jimmy Castor's group was so identified to us that we couldn't let Jimmy Caster take the bacon. We took the bacon. We're the pattern. We're the models. And we were Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. And this is the song that Jimmy Caster wrote, I Promise to Remember.
Holy Papa Cow, Papa Cow, Papa Cow, Papa Cow.
Entitled Wedding Bells. The funny thing about this record, it was recorded on the same label that Herman and Jimmy were on. That was Roulette Records. And I never knew some 20 years later that I would be joining these guys, you know. But it's like you guys, they were my favorite growing up. And we sort of sound alike. We'd like to do this one for you, wonderful guys. You guys have been a great audience. Give yourself a wonderful round of applause. Yeah. And once again, we can't say how grateful we are to the wonderful band that Cheryl's put together. Give them another nice round of applause. Yeah. They went out of their way to put this music together, and I think they did a fantastic job. Yeah. We'd like to do this one for you. We're going to let Jimmy Merchant. Jimmy Merchant is not really William Kyer. He was the original, but Jimmy does a great job of putting this little bass thing together for you guys. So check it out.
My name is Timothy Wilson. I'm the guy who made that record, Wedding Bells. You remember that? And presently, I'm singing lead for the legendary Teenagers. We're here on the Celebrity Cruise with my good buddy, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
I'm here with Hermit Santiago, doo-wop royalty, and one of the original founding members of the Teenagers, and it's just my pleasure to actually have been on the same stage with you, Herman, and boy, we had so much fun on that cruise, didn't we?
Yeah, the cruise was was a pure success, and we had a very good time.
You know, what I liked about it is that it was very intimate, and, you know, the people were very up close and personal. The Teenagers, you guys just knocked us out. I mean, I hung on every note. You know, I was very, very surprised to see Tim because, you know, of course, everybody that had Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers' arsenal in their house, all those 45s, also had Tiny Tim and the Hits and the Wedding Bells tune. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people thought that was Frankie if they didn't know the difference, you know.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and it's also great that that Timmy came right along at, you know, at the same time that the Teenagers were at the record company, came right after behind us. So it was a pretty good match there.
You know, what's funny, too, is then when you listen to people retell the story about how Frankie got to be the lead and whatever and who was supposed to be there, I've heard about 16 different versions of that story.
Yeah. Every time you hear it, it's totally different.
Right. One says that, they were at the studio, somebody had a cold and couldn't record, and then somebody said, well, yeah, you know, it was about the producers and whatever.
What happened was how Frankie got in the group, we were writing I Want You to Be My Girl.
Right.
And on the stoop in the block.
Right.
Streets, like kids, you know, we all lived pretty much in the same block. And when it was time to record, when Richard Barrett brought us downtown to the record company,
right,
after hearing us, George Goldner suggested that maybe Frankie would be, you know, he wanted Frankie to do the lead part. I said, fine, right, no problem, as long as we get it done.
That's, right.
That was the main reason for us, just to get it done, regardless of who the lead singer was.
Wow. Well, you're a very giving guy, because I will tell you that, you know, having been in groups all my life since I'm 15 and everything else, the egos fly. And, you know, when you get to be the lead singer or the first tenor or the, you know, it's like everybody wants to be the guy up front. And not very many guys will say, hey, you know what? If it's time for you to step out there, you do it.
No, but the way we were thinking was we just wanted to get there regardless.
Right.
That if it was Frankie or if it was me, it was just fine as far as I felt.
Right. That's a wonderful thing. You mentioned George. I mean, Terry Johnson's a good friend of mine from the Flamingos, and you know, he and his wife come to our house for dinner and whatever. And
that's great.
He talks about George Goldner all the time, and you know, his relationship with him from the Flamingos.
Right.
Those must have been great days. I mean, you know, you walk into a room and you see people that, you know, from my point of view, I mean, you know, I've written a lot of stuff and I've heard some stuff back on the radio and I've had a couple of groups that made a little bit of noise. But when you talk about people like Jimmy Merchant and Herman Santiago and people who I consider to be the royalty of this genre, to me, just being in the same room is a wonderful thing. You know.
I feel good that you feel like that. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you know,
for feeling that way.
Absolutely, because you guys actually set the tone for so many things to come. I mean, you know, when Jimmy was on stage talking about how many things grew out of the Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers sound, you know, he was absolutely on the money because, you know, it's got to be very thrilling for you to have been not a follower, but a trendsetter as far as this entire genre of music is concerned. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I remember when we came out, right after we came out, you heard a lot of other groups trying to emulate us. And
right.
All throughout the United States, it was groups coming out trying to imitate us, and that's the way it was. Like, you couldn't change it.
Well, you know, one thing that I talked about with Jimmy Keys all the time, and I'm going to ask you this question, is Jimmy did not like the phrase doo-wop. He said, hey, man, we were not singing doo-wop. We were singing jazz and R&B, and I just don't like the term doo-wop. You know, all of a sudden it became doo-wop. Were you guys singing doo-wop when you actually stood on the street corner?
Well, I don't know anything about when it comes to the word doo-wop. I mean, we were just singing.
And
we were singing the music that was playing all along during that period.
Yeah.
And the music, I would call it, was rhythm and blues and and good music. As far as the word doo-wop, that came out in the 60s or 70s, and I have no idea what that's all about.
Right, right. You know, and of course, you know, when Kenny Vance produced American Hot Wax and, you know, Jay Leno was in that movie, there was a group always on the street corner, and they were singing a Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers type of a riff, and people always equate that to having been Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, that that group was really...
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I remember that. Yeah, that was... when you look at the movie, that story, it reminded me of the Teenagers,
right.
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
That's
what I thought too. That's what the picture pretty much shows, the story.
Right. And that's
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers that we're talking about.
And that's actually where Jay Leno got his start. You know, he was doing little comedy clubs, and Kenny put him in that movie, and you know, Jay Leno was pretty beholden to Kenny Vance at that point. You know.
Yeah, so, wow.
Interesting.
That sounds pretty good.
But
it's pretty obvious to me that was the story of Frankie Lyman, or that was
right. Pretty
much part of Frankie Lyman, the teenager story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, the Why Do Fools Fall in Love movie. I'm sure you've seen that movie, and I just wondered how you felt about it, whether that was close to the truth.
The look of the group was totally us, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Right.
But I don't know too much. I don't remember too much about the story by now.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, they were talking about is the fact that you know, Frankie was so talented, but he had a tough life, and he had all these women who claimed to be married to him, and then there was Zola in the mix, and you know.
That was about 10% correct and 90% embellishment.
Wow, that's very interesting.
That's the way I saw it, you know. And it was all that was created in the court case, from the court case rather.
Right.
And that was not true. A lot of that stuff was not true.
Well, that's what I figure. You know, Hollywood takes a hold of this stuff, and they want to make it for Hollywood, so people will hang on it. But I'm sure that they embellished it, and they made Frankie seem as if he was a bigger womanizer than he was. And
that's not true.
And they made it so that you know.
Hollywood.
They
you
made
know,
it
Hollywood.
Sound as if he died a very lonely guy, and you know, but. Because really and truly, we want to remember Frankie in the most positive light, because he was just a ball of energy, and you know, he was a true superstar. You know.
Yeah, but Frankie didn't die. But like I said, the story of that story was only 10% true, as far as I feel.
Yeah.
And the way he died, I don't know. That's not true. That he was totally out of it. You know.
Right. No, I hear you. You know, it's too bad that Frankie couldn't be here now to see that the whole tradition has been carried on, and here we are, you know, a few generations later, and people are still enjoying the music, because basically what you guys started, those songs will be standards. Why Do Fools Fall in Love, and you know, most of the tunes that you guys put down. You know, they're not. None of them are going to be forgotten. Those tunes will go on. You know, from generation to generation.
Oh yeah, that music will always be around, because it's just pure good music, and it's one of those things that you can't forget.
You know, the other thing that people always marvel at is, you know, you guys were going up against, you know, at the Apollo and all these places. You were up there singing in with and around guys that were all 27 and 28 years old, and you guys were really teenagers, and wow, you were knocking them all off the stage.
Well, it was something that just happened.
You know, I mean, how could you be that?
Yeah, well, the same applied when we went on tour. We were around all the big stars,
right.
And we just didn't even give it a thought as to whom we were around.
Well, I bet you grew up fast, because, you know, did they send chaperones with you guys, or did you just go and wing it?
Oh, no. Well, at the beginning, we had a teacher with us that used to give us our school classes.
Oh, wow.
That. But everything was fine, though.
Yeah.
You know, we in a situation like that, you learn fast.
Well, you know, and it's not like it is now. Now you get a good music lawyer, and you're putting, 60% of the money in your pocket and everything else. And not to get into it, you know, but, you hear the stories. I mean, you know, Morris put a lot of money in his pocket, you know, and a lot of the groups that that were with Morris Levy, you know, they got paid a salary and they went home, and Morris became a fat cat on everybody else's back.
Well, that was the trend during that period.
Yeah.
But all the record companies did the same thing with all the different artists.
Yeah, I mean, Morris Levy, for people that don't know, Morris Levy being the head of Roulette Records at that point, and they had a lot of stars signed to Roulette. And, Morris even went as far as putting his name on Why Do Fools Fall in Love. So, as far as the writers go, and that's the way it was in those days. I mean, you know, if you wanted to have a record contract and whatever, you had to give away your publishing and give away your writers. You know, so, but now with all of these heavyweight music lawyers, the lawyers are making all the money.
Yeah, that's true. Today it's pretty much the same applies in a different sort of a way.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what's in store for Frankie Lyman's Teenagers coming up? I'm sure you guys are going to continue to do this until you just look at each other and you say, we've had enough. But
we probably got a few more years to do this, and who knows? We're going to do it as long as we can. We're able to do it.
I was thrilled to see that Tommy Lockhart was in the group. Wow. Good. I mean, he's a real, asset to the group as well.
Tommy's a great singer. He does bring a lot of good music to the group.
The way
it looks now, this is pretty much a perfect combination.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
All right, Mike, it's been great talking to you. And
absolutely, Herman. Let's keep in touch. My pleasure to have been speaking to you, and thank you for taking out the time to talk to me, and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank
good
you,
talking
man.
To you. Bye.
I'm having such a good time bringing you the Teenagers live. Now let's listen to the Teenagers and go way back. And play some of the Teenagers with Frankie Lyman. Sit back and enjoy this with me.
Baby, baby.
Baby, baby, how I want you. Baby, baby, how I need you. Baby, baby, you're the only one. 2, 3, 4. Baby, baby, how I miss you. Baby, baby, long to kiss you. Baby, baby, say you want me. 2, 3, 4, 5. You're my favorite number. All that counts is you. I'm so glad it's you I want. I'm so glad you want me too. Baby, baby, want to bring you. Baby, baby, a wedding ring too. Baby, baby, soon we'll be 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop! Baby, baby, when I'm near you. Baby, baby, I go right to. Baby, baby, heaven number 7, 8, 9, 10. Baby, baby, in your arms dear. Baby, baby, all your charms dear. Baby, baby, I appreciate 9, 10, 11.
That was Baby Baby with Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Hey, Mike, thanks, man, for having me on your show. You rock. Hi, this is Jimmy J from The Rewind Show, hanging out with my good buddy Mike Miller from The Harmony Street Show.
What good is a tribute to the Teenagers without the one that was the big one? Why Do Fools Fall in Love? One of the prettiest songs ever recorded, Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers.
Oh,
Hi, this is Vito Bacone of the Elegants. I'd like to say hi to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Here's another pretty tune by Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Paper Castles. You know, Jimmy and Herman are so lucky to have Tim Wilson from Tiny Tim and the Hits, because Tim, when he was a kid, sounded a lot like Frankie. And let me tell you something. He sounds a lot like Frankie even today. Here's the original Tim Wilson with Tiny Tim and the Hits. Wedding bells are ringing.
is Bob Kretschmar from Starlight Disc. You're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
There was no Big Bird back in those days, so we all had to learn the ABCs from Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
Do bop do boom 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 boom.
Do bop do boom 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 boom.
I'll always want you because my heart is true.
That was my tribute to the Teenagers. Thank you, Herman Santiago. Thank you, Jimmy Merchant. Thank you, Timothy Wilson. And thank you, Tommy Lockhart. And most of all, thank you, Frankie Lyman.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be.